Thank you, Julia, very much. Good news from the Gospel of Luke. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. The census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And Mary brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Amen. Good news of great joy for each one of us and for the shepherds. A Savior has been born to you. So a question to ask ourselves on Christmas Eve, do I need a Savior? Do you need a Savior? One has been born to you. People who do statistics say every day around the world about 150,000, that's a lot of people, fill up Heinz Field, you know, that would be what, about three times. All those people turn to Christ for the first time and say, "Jesus, be my Lord." That's what happened today around the world. Okay, and do you count yourself as one of them? Oh, yeah, I've done that in my life. Could you say that? And I want to follow Jesus like these shepherds did. And did Jesus really come for you? Do you have faith in him? You know, I'll take that word faith. A pastor's wife years and years ago said, just take the word faith. Every letter representing a word, acrostic, faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. Okay, not to trust ourselves anymore, not to trust what we could do, not to trust the stuff of life, which is gifts of God, which sometimes we, you know, bow down to and make an idol out of. Hold it, I have to answer my cell phone, and, you know, I'm to at least, what, 80 times a day on average by the least... technically qualified of us, but forsaking all, putting it under God, I trust him. Okay, is that something your soul has done between you and the Lord? Well, let's talk about why Jesus came. First, talking about the things Jesus did not come to do. Okay, what didn't he come to do? First of all, the Bible tells us he did not come to condemn the world. That should give us a pretty big relief. Okay. Did not come to condemn the world. The world was condemned already. We were up the crick in terms of our own lives and being apart from God. Jesus doesn't beat a dead horse. You know, he didn't come to condemn people who thought, "Oh man, I need help already." And is God going to come and just, you know, put salt in the wound over here? He didn't do that. And so he didn't come to condemn the world. He came Savior first, judge second. Savior first, judge second. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's a Bible verse. Good verse to tuck into your heart and live by. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Second reason he didn't come to call the righteous or the alleged righteous. So if you're here tonight and by yourself, you think, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I'm a pretty good gal. I do good things. I barely need God. Okay, if that's what's on your heart, Jesus did not come for you. And he'd let you know that, that's an alleged righteousness. That's really not true. Okay. He'd want you to know that he came for sinners. So if you're a sinner, he'd want to reach out to you and say, he's for you. So there are two reasons why he didn't come: to call the righteous or to condemn the world. What are the reasons Jesus did come? Why was he born? First one, because he was sent. Jesus said he was born to do the will of the Father. And song says, from God's heaven to a manger, from great riches to the poor, came the Holy Son of God, a little child. You think of the distance that Jesus went. We admire some of the folks who work in rough places, you know, or go somewhere and they say, I'm going to work in an area that has very little electricity or resources and so forth. They go from what they have a lot to not many resources, but love can prevail. Jesus did that, going from heaven to the manger. And he was sent by the Father. There was never a time when Jesus did not exist, that is Christ. The little girl asked her dad, you know, she was about 8, she said, Daddy, where was I before I was born? And dad said, well, chance to talk about the Bible. He said, you didn't exist. You know, she had a hard time contemplating a world where she didn't exist. Okay, that's some of us are the same way. But Christ always existed. Okay, he was sent by the Father. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. So no greater mission than the mission Jesus had. And the second reason Jesus came, he was born because you and I were stuck in sin and death. We really were. Bob Welch, a good Christian writer, describes being stuck in sin and death this way. He said, how sad to love things that cannot love you back. You think of all the things you love, can't love you back. There's a missionary guy from Germany. He says he doesn't use the word love for anything except God and people. He doesn't say, I love chocolate ice cream, or I love, you know, whatever. Because he wants that to be for God alone and for people alone. Not a bad way to live. But I do like chocolate ice cream, you could say. That type of thing. So he says, how sad it is to love something that can't love you back. In this troubled world, there is much pain. And most of it, God only sees the real deep sadness. Pain in your soul. Nobody knows about it except you and God. Maybe you don't even know about it. God knows where the pain is and why it's there. He says this is a world when your sin keeps returning to your mind as sure as night and darkness come. Okay, you say, oh, something's not right between me and God and me and other people. That's called sin. Being stuck in sin and death is when you look at your life and it seems empty, or when you look at your soul and it seems horrible. Sometimes that's an honest assessment. When we're standing before God, we look at our own soul, we say, it's horrible. How little love I can express to God and people. And he said, there's a great wonder that God has made, the oceans and the sky, but a greater wonder is a soul set free by the good news of great joy, who is Jesus. And so for 2,000 years, we celebrate, you know, people have been putting their trust in Jesus, born in little old Bethlehem. Jesus never traveled around what do they say? He never traveled more than 90 miles in his whole lifetime. He was just, I'm just going to be here. And who he was and what he did spread across the world. For 2,000 years, 50 generations of changed lives, 2 billion with a B, people around the world worshiping Christ tonight and tomorrow. 2 billion people. That's incredible. 5 billion maybe don't know yet or say, no, 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 not for me. 2 billion say, thank you, Lord. Are you one of those 2 billion? So Jesus doesn't leave us stuck in our sin. He comes to rescue us and bring forgiveness. In last year, 2017, real bad earthquake in Mexico, hit Mexico City. there were a lot of people in the rubble of buildings who were stuck there, who had in their mind the truth. They said, I'm going to die unless somebody comes and gets me out of this. I'm going to die unless somebody comes and gets me out of this. If we say that to God, He will come and help us. In our life, the sin and death, we're stuck. I'm going to die and be apart from God unless He comes and gets me out of this. And would you say that as a person? And if you do, you'll find Christ faithful and true to come and be your Savior. He loves you very much. Jesus goes from the cradle to the cross to rescue you. And from the cross to the resurrection to give you life with Him. He says, I'm always with you. And He's coming again to judge the living and the dead. And everybody who comes to Him will find in Him a Savior. You need a Savior tonight? Everybody who rejects Him will find in Him a judge. Later on. High standard judge. Condemned already before Him. In my own life, I'll just share this. There's not a week that goes by that I don't think, without Christ, I am really, really stuck in sin and death. And I would go to hell as fast as anybody in the room here. But thank the Lord, He's faithful and true. He keeps us from, you know, the devastation of rejecting Him. And so the Lord is with you, wants to be good news of great joy for you. If you put your trust in Christ, you'll find a great King and a compassionate Savior, which people do find. And just some things, if you fit one of these needs, know Jesus is your Savior. Of course, your biggest need is the sin pain, the death pain, the hell pain. And they're all real. But here's some others that I've seen God help people with. To the troubled, He'll be your wonderful counselor. You can talk to Him all the time. To the anxious, He'll be your Prince of Peace. He can make all is calm and all is bright, even if it takes a couple months, you know, for that to come about. To the self-satisfied, He'll be a sword to judge the thoughts and intention of your heart. He'll poke you with the sword in your soul so you wake up to Him. He can do that. To those whose parents are gone, Jesus will be your everlasting Father. To the guilty, He'll bring forgiveness and freedom. To the depressed, He'll bring a thankfulness that is stronger than depression. You'll be counting blessings. You'll say, these blessings, there's about 1,000 every hour. They're bigger than the problems I have that are real and painful. And then to the lonely, He says, I love you so you could love others, and I will never leave you or forsake you. Would you put your trust in Him this evening? Follow Him all the way to heaven? He can't say enough good things about Jesus. But we should do some Christmas Eve, just kind of surprise, you know, spring it on you. Not tonight. But just have people come up and say one good thing about the Lord. You know, and just have like a parade of true witnesses. And if I was sitting there listening to you all who have some integrity and enthusiasm in you, I would say, oh, I got to say something true about Jesus. He's great. So do that in your soul. Do that with your life, if you would. And if you've never received Christ, I'd say, remember the song. We're going to sing, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let you and I receive our King, you and I. And just say a prayer in your soul, something like this. Jesus, forsaking all, I take you. You're the good news of great joy. And he'll be there for you all the time. Okay, let's pray before we pass on the candle to each other. Lord, be close to everybody here and go with them, Lord. Help each one of us not to be able to get you off of our mind. Not like a point of trouble, but a person of salvation that you would bring to us. Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Savior of our soul. Thank you for being that way, and be close to each one of us as we pass the light, since the light of the world is Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. When you get your candle, just a word, when the light comes to your candle, think of the flame staying up. That'll help us not get too much of the wax on yourself, your neighbor, and all the furniture, and all the carpeting. And love your custodian as yourself, because you know they're going to be in here working like for months and months and months if we just like start to wave the flame around and all the wax goes all over. I give you the speech because I got the speech. So when you get that candle, you keep the flame up. The receiver of the light, you bend the flame. And then you hold yours up. Then the receiver of the light bends the flame. You, okay? Should we practice? No. Okay, sorry. Thank you for your patience. And we're going to have the lights be down. And think about the Lord when we pass this light on to each other.